Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
With Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, ha-ha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio. One thing, please subscribe to my channel. If you enjoy what I'm doing, subscribing is 100% free.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet are here. Two episodes. The 96th episode, Ozzie Runs for Office, December 1st, 1946. And then Ricky's Third Prize in School, December 8th, 1946.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, presenting America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. And now let's see what's going on in the Nelson family.
What are you writing, dear?
Just a letter.
Is it a secret?
No, it's no secret. It's just a letter.
Oh, that's different. Anyone I know?
No, dear. Would you mind not speaking to me for just a couple of minutes? I'm trying to concentrate here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you looking for something, dear?
Yes. Have you seen the dictionary?
What word do you want to know how to spell?
Well, I know how to spell it. I just want to make sure I'm right. Where is that dictionary?
Well, what's the word?
I don't know whether you've even heard of it. It's demagogue.
Oh, demagogue?
Yes.
D-E-M-A-G-O-G-U-E.
Harriet, let's not guess, shall we? Okay. Let's see. A, B, C, D. Oh, yeah. Del, to magnetize. A demagogue. D-E-M-A-G-O-G-U-E.
What'd I tell you?
Harriet, please, I knew how to spell the word. Had it written down, as a matter of fact. Just wanted to double check.
What are you looking for now?
Have you seen my eraser?
That's what happened two nights ago. And that brings us right up to date. Now, let's see, where were we? Oh, yes, they're at breakfast, and Harriet says...
Ozzie, I wish you'd put down that paper and drink your coffee.
Just a minute, dear. I just wanted... Oh. Say, Harriet.
Yes, dear?
Listen to this. I just happened to stumble across it here in letters to the editor. Would you care to hear it?
Your coffee's getting cold.
Dear sir, recent surveys show that an alarming number of voters are shirking their duties by failing to register for the coming election. This is indeed...
Good morning, Mother.
Good morning, dear.
Good morning, Ricky. Sit down, will you, Ricky? There's something here I want to read to your mother. Dear sirs, recent surveys have... Ricky, do you have to crunch on that toast this very minute? I'm trying to read something to your mother. Dear sirs, recent surveys show that an alarming number of voters are shirking their duties by failing to register
for the...
Good
morning, dear.
David, I beat you down to breakfast this morning.
No wonder you didn't comb your hair.
Good morning, David. Sit down, would you please? Where was I? Oh, yes. This is a tragic commentary on the... David, please. Your mother is very anxious to hear a certain article I'm trying to read to her. This is a tragic commentary on the decline of civic responsibility.
David didn't wash his face, Snicky.
These citizens who fail to register are guilty of negligence and indifference to public duty.
You know, boys, and I think we could get along better if there wasn't quite so much tattling on
each other. Harriet, do you or do you not want to hear this?
Well, of course I do, dear. Go ahead, I'm listening.
It's impossible for you to talk to the boys and hear what I'm reading at the same time.
Those citizens who fail to register are guilty of moral negligence and indifference to public duty.
Our most precious right must be exercised. We must protect our traditional principles.
The principal at my school is Miss Colbert.
That's fine, Ricky.
She's very nice, too.
I'll be through in just a moment. Otherwise, we abandon true democracy for the rule of selfish demagogues.
Demagogues?
Yes, demagogues. Responsible citizens, register and vote in the coming election. What do you think of it?
Well, I think it's positively brilliant.
Guess who wrote it?
Let me see. George Bernard Shaw?
No.
Secretary of State Burns?
No.
Ozzie Nelson?
Absolutely correct. There it is. See? Ozzie Nelson. See, there it is, boys. Your father's name? Paper?
Can we eat our toast now?
Is that all the impression it makes when I get my name in the paper?
Is that good? You know that Cocker Spaniel with Will Thornberry? He had his picture in the paper last month.
Yes, but did he write a letter?
Ozzie, dear, we're very proud of you. It's an excellent letter.
Well, thank you, dear. You know something, Harriet? Writing to your newspaper can be a valuable public service, especially when a man has the ability to express himself with clarity and force.
That's true, dear. Some more toast?
Oh, yes, thank you. Goodness knows there are plenty of issues that are confusing the public right now.
I think I'll get some scissors and cut that article out before I forget.
Oh, what for, Harriet?
Well, I want to save it to show to people.
Harriet, it's not worth talking about even. What is it? I just happened to write an ordinary letter reminding the people to get out and register and vote. That's all.
What was that? Did you hear something hit against the front door there?
Oh, yes, I think it was just the morning paper.
But we already got our paper.
Well, I kind of figured that my letter might be in the paper today, so I asked the boy to ride back and get a few extra for it.
But I only heard one hit against... Oh.
I thought you might want to send a copy to your mother and my mother and... Maybe I better get the papers.
Ozzie, stay away from that door. You'll be killed.
Ozzie, I think somebody's at the front door.
I'm answering it now, dear. Oh, good morning.
Good morning indeed, sir. Have I the privilege of addressing Mr. Ozzie Nelson?
That's right.
It is a privilege to meet you, sir. My name is Pennyfeather. Fennimore Pennyfeather. Here's my card.
Well, thank you. Ah, I see you're chairman of the Citizens Political Pressure Committee.
I have that privilege, Mr. Nelson. I have the privilege of reading your letter in this morning's paper. And I want to tell you, sir, I consider it a privilege to meet you in person.
Well, thank you.
May I have the privilege of coming in?
It's a privilege. Please do, yes.
First of all, Mr. Nelson, a word about our organization. We are just average citizens. The man in the street, the woman in the house, the group in the Gallup poll marked doesn't know.
Oh.
For a long time, we've been called the vote that's gotten out. And frankly, Mr. Nelson, we are just fed up with being wielded.
Yes, but politically speaking, what's your direction?
In these times, who knows? We just put pressure on everybody. But first of all, sir, allow me to congratulate you on the letter you sent to the paper.
Oh, it was nothing.
Your inspiration.
Have a seat.
Clear, concise thinking. Magnificently presented.
Take the one with the cushion.
Thank you. Very comfortable indeed, sir. Mr. Nelson, I might as well get right down to business. At our committee meeting this afternoon, your letter to the editor was read, and it was suggested that I pay you a visit and get to know you a little better.
Well, I don't quite understand.
Clumsy of me, of course, you're wondering. Mr. Nelson, the Citizens Committee is most particular about the character of any candidate whom it sponsors.
Candidate?
Your letter to the newspaper indicated that you are a man with a deep sense of civic responsibility. You, Mr. Nelson, are the kind of man the committee likes to present to the taxpayers.
But Mr. Pennyway...
Pennyfeather.
I mean Mr. Pennyfeather. Do you mean what I think you do?
We are considering you, sir, for the office of Public Protective Executive Custodian under our banner.
Public Executive Protective Custodian?
Public Protective Executive Custodian.
Well, this is a great honor. I don't know what to say.
Your name was only suggested, you understand.
Yes.
I was appointed to see you and decide if you were, well, sort of look you over, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Thank you.
I didn't have time to shave this morning, but
that's
I used
perfectly
the...
perfectly all right.
Yes.
Mr. Nelson.
Yes?
I know, of course, that from your letter, you are aware of the tremendous responsibility that any man in public office has.
Of course.
Therefore, you will not mind if I ask you a few questions.
Not at all, sir.
Do you hold public office now?
No.
No. Have you ever been convicted of a felony?
No.
You seem to be just the type we're looking for.
Oh. But I... Well, Golly, I don't know. Do you mind if I call my wife?
Not at all. I'd like to meet her.
Hey, Harriet! Harriet!
People are always curious about the relationship between a candidate and his wife.
Hey, Harriet, dear.
Yes, Ozzie?
Harriet, this is Mr. Featherweight.
It's Penny Feather.
Penny, Feather.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Mrs. Nelson, we have asked your husband to be a candidate for public office.
Really?
Yes, for public executive protective custodian.
Public protective executive
custodian.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Well, now, just a moment, Harriet. You must realize what an important step this is. Our quiet, peaceful home life here will all be changed. We'll live in the public eye, subject always to criticism. Few thanks, long hours.
I always thought a politician's hours were short.
Not just before election.
Think it over, Harriet. It's a big step. You know the old saying, politics makes strange bedfeathers, hey, Mr. Pennyfellow? Well, what do you say, dear?
It's Penny Feather.
Certainly, Ozzie. I think it's a great honor.
Oh. Harriet, take me by the hand, dear. We accept the nomination, Mr. Penny Pincher.
Penny Feather.
Penny Feather.
And the Citizens Committee is proud to endorse a man of your caliber.
I shall do my best to deserve your confidence.
With that attitude, you cannot fail.
I am inexperienced, but I promise you sincerity and honest effort.
That's the kind of man we need in office.
And I...
Take it easy, fellas. You're both on the same side.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Public Executive Protective Custodian. Or is it Protective Executive? Oh, well. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Pennyfeather.
It's Pennyfeather. Oh, yes.
Goodbye.
And if elected, I promise I shall do my utmost to discharge efficiently and honestly the duties of the office to which you have entrusted me.
All right, I'm not through yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, dear.
I pledge myself to the service of the people. I pledge every bone and muscle in my body, every hair on my head, every drop of blood in my veins.
Ozzie, isn't that a little bit strong?
Well, you got to impress him with your sincerity.
Well, I know, dear, but do you have to bleed on him?
Well, maybe just the bone, muscle, and hair would be enough. And may I
ask... Go ahead, dear. I want to find out about lunch.
It is every citizen's duty to register...
Gloria!
...and vote for the candidate of his choice.
Gloria!
Can you call me Mrs. Nelson?
And keep out the irresponsible charlatan and worthless demagogue.
I didn't ask to come in. Somebody called me.
Nelson's just making a speech. I called you to ask you about lunch.
Gloria, you may be interested to know that I'm running for the office of Public Executive Protective Custodian.
Oh, that's wonderful, Mr. Nelson. Will vegetable stew be all right for lunch?
Yes, it sounds wonderful.
By the way, somebody just delivered this big book for you, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, yes, thank you. That's the book Mr. Pennyfeather promised to send me about the city ordinances and organizations. By the way, Gloria, I want you to see what you think of the end of my speech. And I also promise that if elected, I will leave no stone unturned. I will use all my energy, my time, all my waking hours, if necessary, to make this office a model of efficiency and good government.
Oh, that's cute.
All right.
I'm sure you'll be elected.
Well, thanks a lot, Gloria, but it isn't such a cinch.
Oh, I'm positive you'll win.
You can't be sure. Some people think my opponent will win.
Oh, you've got an opponent. That's a little different, but I'll vote for you, Mr. Nelson.
Well, thanks very much, Gloria, but I don't want you to vote for me unless you think I'm the best man for the job. See, you have to realize it's the duty of a citizen not only to register and vote, but also to keep informed, to know all about the candidates and the duties of their office, and then decide which candidate is capable.
Now, I guess you're right. I should know more about it. Mr. Nelson, is your opponent capable?
Well, I don't know.
Who is your opponent?
Well, say, come to think of it, I didn't ask.
What are the duties of your office?
Well, I'm not sure.
See, I wish I was a candidate instead of a voter. Then I wouldn't have to know anything either. Well, I'll think it over while I get lunch ready.
Say, by the way, Ozzie, what are you running for? I mean, what are the duties of this executive protective?
Say, frankly, I was just wondering the same thing myself. It's probably right in this book, Lori, again. Let me see. Public offices. From the sound of it, I'd say it had something to do with the treasurer's office, wouldn't you? No, it's not in that section. Oh, it wouldn't be a minor office like that anyway. Look it up here close to the mayor. That's all. Here it is. Public Protective Executive Custodian. His duties shall consist of... Is lunch ready yet, dear?
Well, what office is it, Ozzie?
Office?
Yes, that's what you just looked up, isn't it? What are the duties of the office you're running for?
Harriet, the particular duties of the office aren't important. After
I
all...
I know, dear, but what are the duties?
Well, it doesn't matter much what a man does. It's the fact he's in public service, that he's doing his best for the people.
Ozzie, what are you running for?
Dog catcher.
Dog catcher?
Well, head dog catcher.
Well, come on, Ozzie. Let's eat lunch. Cigars, dear?
Well, of course. Why not?
Well, wouldn't dog biscuits be more appropriate?
Harriet, that's a very cheap joke.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of like it.
The office of head dog catcher is a very honorable and historic office. It was established in 1874 by an act of the city council and has always been filled by honest and upright citizens.
That's interesting.
Besides, I can't get out of it.
Well, I don't see why you should want to, dear. After all, it is a public office, and it may be only the beginning for you. If you do a good job, maybe you can run for something else next year.
Hey, that's right. That's the way to look at this job, as a stepping stone. Who knows where it could lead? Perhaps even to Washington someday.
Sure. From doghouse to White House.
Well, hello, boys.
Hi, Pop.
Hi, Pop.
What happened, fellas? Something go wrong in school?
Tell him, David. Might as well tell you, Pop. Ever since you started to run for dog catcher, all the kids we know with dogs won't speak to us.
Oh, so that's it.
Not only that, Will Thornberry's Cocker Spaniel won't speak to us either. I'm sorry, Pop, but, well, none of the kids seem to like dog catchers.
Now, just a moment, boys. I think you've got this a little confused. You see, I won't be the man who goes out with the net and catches the dogs.
You won't?
No. I'll just be the man who sends the man out with the net to catch the dogs.
Oh.
That's not much better, is it?
Pop, please don't be a dog catcher.
Gosh, fellas, I never realized you felt this way about it.
We wanted to get a dog of our own.
Well, you can have a dog. I'll catch you I'll buy you a swell dog. You think just because I'm dog catcher, I'd object to having a dog in the house?
No, but how's the dog gonna feel?
No. Fellas, you've got to listen to me. You've got to see my side of it. I like dogs just as much as you do. And I promise you I'll be very careful.
Hello, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, hello, Emmy Lou.
Oh, I ran over as soon as I saw you come out of the house. I heard the news, and I want to tell you that I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Emmy Lou.
What an honor it is for me to live next door to you.
Oh, you're exaggerating.
Oh, no, I'm not. I can't help thinking how proud I'll be someday when a mad dog gets loose on Main Street and people's lives are in danger until you come along, dash in, and capture him with your bare hands.
I think they provide gloves.
I can see you now, standing there facing the mad beast. Slowly you hold out the can of Red Heart. He crouches. Your muscles flex. You're ready to throw the net over him. He grows tense. Suddenly he springs at you. You throw the net. It misses. The crowd scatters. But do you run?
Well, of course I...
No, you... No, Mr. Nelson, you don't. The mad dog's got you by the sleeve. Now his teeth are tearing the flesh off your arm. Your assistants run up and throw ropes and nets around him. He's captured, and you're a hero. Won't that be wonderful for the neighborhood?
You know, Emmy, you and the boys are giving me an entirely new picture of this situation. In fact, the whole thing gets less appealing by the minute.
Well, do you mean you'd rather not have the job, Mr. Nelson?
Well, for one thing, David and Ricky and even Harriet will probably disinherit me if I'm elected. You see, it seems nobody has much sympathy for dog catchers. We're an oppressed minority.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, maybe you'll be lucky and lose the election.
No, not with my luck. They've already arranged for me to go out and make speeches and get votes.
Well, maybe the people won't like your speeches and won't vote for you.
Yay. Hey, that's an idea, Emmy Lou. Maybe I can campaign to lose votes.
Well, sure you could.
If I could succeed in making bad enough speeches, I may lose the election.
Oh, I got faith in you, Mr. Nelson. You'll be able to do it. It'll be easy for you.
You're right, Emmy Lou. Wait, I'll see you later. I'm going to go prepare a few bad speeches.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, you're wonderful. The sacrifice you're making for your family.
Oh,
giving up what may be a brilliant political career. Just think, you might be elected dog catcher, then alderman, then mayor, governor. And then who can tell, you might run for president and have your picture taken with Frank Sinatra.
And so a strange phenomenon takes place. The Rogers Road political machine grinds to a stop. And slowly goes into reverse. Gradually gathers speed. And more speed. Every cog turning smoothly. Every nut performing his function, turning out speeches. What would I do about loose dogs if I were elected? I'd do the same thing the present incumbent would do about loose dogs if I were the present incumbent and he were elected. That's what I'd do about loose dogs if I were elected. Turning out radio programs.
Wake up, America. Time to stump the precincts. Tonight, our guest expert is candidate for dog catcher, Ozzie Nelson. Mr. Nelson, I would like to ask you a question. Who will you vote for as dog catcher?
For my opponent, J.J.J.J. O'Mahony. He is experienced. He is independent. O'Mahony wears no dog's collar.
More speeches.
And so, members of the ladies' aid, remember, a vote for me is a vote for inefficiency and corruption.
And in closing, legionnaires, let me remind you again, elect me dog catcher, and in 6 months the dogs will be running this town.
So I say to you, daughters of Carrie Gibson, go to the polls tomorrow and vote for my opponent, J.J.J.J. O'Mahony.
Corny political jokes.
It has been stated by some irresponsible scandal mongers that my opponent, J.J.J.J. O'Mahony, was once seen pushing a dog off his lap. This is an unmitigated, scandalous untruth. That was no dog. That was his wife.
Grinding out dreams of handbills and billboards.
Ozzie Nelson, an able candidate, supports the platform of J.J.J.J. O'Mahony. Honesty, integrity, courage, airmail now 5 cents.
Settling campaign strategy.
Why should I shake your hand? I don't want your vote. Cigars? No thanks, I never use them. I am calling upon you for one thing. Get out and vote. But remember, if I'm elected, this town will go to the dogs.
Right up to election day and election night, when Harriet says to Ozzie,
"It's 7 o'clock, dear. Why don't you see if some of the returns are coming in?"
And when the smoke of battle drifts away, the town will find in its midst one of the brightest political stars in the history of this city, the cleverest vote-getter of all time. In a very unorthodox, completely nutty campaign, this candidate on the ticket of the Citizens Committee... ...swept all opposition before him by the novel method of pretending that he didn't want the job. I guess that it proves that nothing captures the heart of the American public like a good sense of humor.
Oh.
So let's all congratulate our new dog catcher. Congratulations wherever you are, Mr. Ozzie Nelson, and may you...
If that isn't the most amazing thing...
Oh, it's terrible.
In a way, it's hilariously funny, I suppose, after you tried so hard to get defeated.
What am I going to tell my children?
That must be the committee to put the crown on your head.
Oh, well, Mr. Pennyfeather, come in.
Mr. Nelson,
I hope you're thoroughly ashamed of yourself.
What do you mean?
To think that you, of all people, would do a thing like that.
But
after that wonderful letter you wrote to the paper, do you remember what you said in that letter?
Well, of course. What's that got to do with the election?
What's that got to do with the election? Haven't you heard?
That I won, certainly.
You won, yes. But you've also been disqualified.
Disqualified? I can't take office?
No, and all on a technicality, too. Mr. Nelson, you forgot to register.
If you forgot to register, how did you vote?
Holy smokes, I forgot that too. Oh.
You've been listening to The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, presenting America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. And now let's see what's going on in the Nelson family.
All right, boys, everybody up. David, Ricky, Ozzie.
It's no wonder mothers get weary. After getting them up, getting them dressed, getting them fed, Harriet gets her little family started on the daily routine.
Hurry up, gang. It's time you were leaving.
Okay, Mom. Here I go.
That was 10-year-old David sliding down the banister.
Ricky, I'll bet you can't do that.
Yes, I can.
Followed by 6-year-old Ricky.
I bet Pop can.
Oh, no. Well, Harriet?
Yes, Mother.
You have your homework, David, and your milk money?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm all ready, too, Mother.
Let's see. Well, surprise, surprise, your face is clean.
I tried soap this morning.
Picked a fine time to start now that's getting scarce.
Oh, but see how nice you look, Daddy. Hair combed and everything.
I even washed my ears.
You sure? Let's see. Ah, yeah. You left the soap in them to prove it.
Mother's very proud of you, Ricky. You're getting to be a fine big fella.
You guys better get started for school, hadn't you?
Okay, Pop. Come on, my fine big fellow. Bye, Mom. Go on, Pop.
So long,
bye,
guys.
Bye, fellas. Well, there they go.
Mm-hmm. Say, Harriet.
Yes?
Don't you think maybe we were praising Ricky a little too much about his appearance?
What makes you say that, dear?
Well, it just occurred to me we made such a fuss over him, we might have hurt David's feelings.
Oh, I don't think so. Although, I'll grant you, it is something we should be careful about.
And David's such a good little guy, I'd hate to have him feel neglected.
Oh, now, Ozzie, I'm sure it wasn't as bad as all that.
Well, nevertheless, a 10-year-old boy can be pretty sensitive, you know. Well, I think I'll be home a little early today, dear.
Oh, that's good. You better take your coat. It's pretty chilly.
I will.
And Ozzie?
Yeah?
In case you're sensitive, you look very nice, too.
Oh, thank you. Thorny. Home a little early today, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I thought as long as it's so nice out, I'd clean up this lawn a little. Rake up some of these leaves.
Well, I won't get too mad if you make a little mistake and clean up my side of the lawn, too.
Oh, I can't. That's where I'm throwing all the rubbish. Say, you know, that little Ricky of yours is all right.
What do you mean?
Well, tell me he hasn't told you. Julie came home yesterday all excited about it.
Well, what happened?
Well, you know, they had one of those creative aptitude tests at the school yesterday.
Yeah?
Ricky drew a bridge for his project and won a silver star for third prize in his class.
How about that? He never even told us about it.
Pretty smart kid, that Ricky.
You know, he really is, Thorny. Yeah, of course, I know every parent thinks his children are smart. But did I ever tell you what Ricky once said to the milkman? The milkman...
Yes, you did.
Oh. Well, there's another story about... Oh, he's about 4 years old, I think. And he saw David leaving for school.
You told me that one, too, Oz.
Did I tell you about when he was 2 years old and he saw a dog for the first time?
No.
Oh, well, this dog...
Harriet did.
Well, I'll be seeing you.
Yeah, give Ricky my congratulations.
I will. Oh, say, you know, I've heard about these aptitude tests before. They're very accurate. Supposed to prove beyond a doubt... How did your little daughter Julie come out?
She told me, but I forgot.
Well, anyway, she's pretty, and I wouldn't take these tests too seriously.
Oh, as a matter of fact, Julie's pretty good at school. She'll manage all right. Anyway, my mother always used to say that a girl should be pretty and a boy should be smart.
I guess that's right. And Ricky is smart. You see that wagon he built practically by himself?
Yeah, he pulls Julie around in it every day. Yeah, I guess she'll manage all right.
As long as he's smart and she's pretty, I guess it comes out even.
Imagine that Julie getting Ricky to pull her around all day in his wagon. She's only 5 years old. I mean, where she learned such things.
Oh, by the way, did your boy Will take the aptitude test?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's how I happened to go over to the school today. The principal called me up. It seems that Will has developed quite an aptitude for penmanship.
Oh?
Yes, they got to checking the handwriting on the tests and discovered who had written the Kilroy was here signs on the basement wall. I'll see you later, Oz.
Oh, you're all in here. Hello, dear.
Hello, dear.
Hi, Mom. Mom.
Boys are just going to have some milk and cookies. You care for some?
Just as soon as I get my coat off. Well, congratulations, Ricky.
Congratulations. What'd he do?
Harriet, I'm proud to announce that our son, Eric Nelson, age 6, won third prize in his class in an aptitude test at school.
Ricky, why didn't you tell me? That's wonderful.
It is?
Mr. Thornberry says it was for a bridge you drew. Did you bring it home with you?
Yeah, but I can't show it to you.
Why not?
I got my gumdrops wrapped up in it.
Ricky Nelson, I want that drawing. I'm going to show it to Grandma, the Thornberrys, the Johnsons, and then I'm going to put up my scrapbook.
Oh, Mom.
Now, Ricky, your mother's proud of you. Don't be so modest. Take the drawing out of your pocket and show it to us.
Mother? Ricky, you got it all crumpled in the back. Here, let me straighten it out.
Mom, you're losing my gumdrop.
Golly, look at this, Ozzy.
Hey, that's pretty darn good.
I can't believe he did this all by himself.
I never knew you could draw this well, Ricky.
Mom?
Yes, David?
Can I have my milk so I can go out and play?
Yes, certainly, dear. Help yourself.
You know, Harriet, this bridge shows a real mechanical aptitude. Ricky, how did you happen to draw a bridge?
Well, first I drew a fish swimming across a river, but it didn't look so good. So I made the fish longer, and it looked like a bridge.
Mom, maybe Ricky will be an engineer when he grows up and build real bridges.
Mom?
Yes, David?
I can't find the cookies.
Oh, ask Gloria to give them to you, dear. Ricky, what are these things?
That's where the bridge raises up to let the boats go by. And when an airplane wants to get by, it folds down like this.
Yeah. Hey, that's pretty darn clever. You know, Harriet, we're liable to have an engineer in the family.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
In fact, we're going to start encouraging this talent right away. That's what those tests are for, you know.
Oh, of course.
Begin putting the emphasis on mathematics, physics, and science. Remind me tonight to get him a subscription to Popular Mechanics. And I think maybe Santa Claus ought to bring him one of those Erector building sets this Christmas.
Well, yes, dear, but that's one of the things you wanted this year.
Oh, well, of course, talent to consider. Harriet, look at this design here. Do you realize that that's almost a perfect circle?
Isn't that clever? What is it?
Well, it's let's see. It can't be the support. It's the Ricky, what is this circle here?
That's where the gumdrop was.
Oh, also.
Ozzy, I think we ought to frame this picture. Then someday when Ricky's a famous engineer, we'll show it to him.
Mom?
Yes, David?
I can't find Gloria.
Oh, maybe she's in the living room. Gloria? Oh, Gloria!
Then you call me, Mrs. Nelson.
David can't seem to find where you hid the cookies.
Oh, I'll get them. I know... What's that?
Oh, it's a drawing Ricky made, Gloria. Won third prize in his class at school.
Really? Oh, it certainly is a wonderful job.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, yes. I think the expression around the mouth is perfect.
No. Gloria, it's a bridge. Here, turn around. See? See, that's the river running right underneath there.
Isn't that good?
Yes, it is. Ricky will probably grow up to be an artist. He'll live in a studio and smoke a pipe and wear a beret and run around a lot and have wild parties every night.
What's the matter, Gloria?
I knew him when he was a little boy, and he was so sweet.
Well, he doesn't have to be that kind of an artist. All artists aren't alike.
Well, that's right.
Anyway, too. It isn't the drawing itself that's important, Gloria, but rather the thought behind it, which suggests a talent for engineering.
Yep. Looks like Ricky's going to be an engineer when he grows up.
Oh, that doesn't always follow, Mrs. Nelson. 15 years ago, when my little nephew was only 4 years old, he once took his father's watch apart.
My goodness.
He took every single part out and laid it in a neat circle. And when his father came home, he wasn't angry because he felt that this showed his son was going to be a watchmaker. So, he promised the boy a dollar if he'd put it together again. Imagine a 4-year-old boy putting a watch together.
And did he turn out to be a watchmaker?
Oh, we don't know yet. He's still trying to put his father's watch together. Well, I'll go get the cookies.
Did the whole school take these tests, Ricky?
Sure. David's class had watercolor painting.
David, how did you... Where is David?
Oh. Well, he must have left while we were talking.
Well, Ozzie, he didn't wait for the cookies. That's not like David. Do you think... Oh, goodness. Here we were praising Ricky to the skies, and we never even asked David about his drawing.
The poor kid probably got a low mark and was too embarrassed to show it to us.
Well, of course, we may be just imagining things.
Oh, as a matter of fact, he's probably out in the kitchen filling up on cookies.
Take it easy, dear. We both can't get through the door at once. We thought David might be here in the kitchen. Has he been in here, Gloria?
And he just left.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he just asked me to make him a box lunch for tomorrow, and then he left.
A box lunch?
That's funny. David always comes home for lunch.
Well, that's what I said. But he said he wasn't going to go to school tomorrow.
Ozzie, you don't suppose...
Well, holy smokes, I don't know. Well, what makes you so sure that David's up here in his room, Harriet?
I'm not, but he's in there talking to Ricky. Let's go in a little closer.
Harriet, you mean you're going to eavesdrop?
If anything's wrong with my son, I want to know about it. I certainly don't see any harm. And...
Shh, I can't hear them. Downstairs, Harriet.
Ozzie, this is terrible. Do you realize what this means? David's planning to run away from home.
He's obviously planning to run away right after his bedtime. That gives us until 9 o'clock tonight to figure something out.
I wish I knew what to do.
Why not lock him in his room?
Oh, we can't, Ozzie. That was... Did you say that, Ozzie?
No.
I did. And here I am up in the tree.
Oh, hello, Emmy Lou.
Hello. I just happened to be sitting here. I wasn't purposely listening. I'd have told you I was here if I'd known you were going to talk about something personal. I feel terribly embarrassed.
But... As long as I already heard, why don't you lock him in his room?
No, that wouldn't solve the problem, Emmy Lou. Besides, it's a horrible thing to do to a child.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you're right. Why does he want to run away?
Well, it's quite a long story. You see, Ricky got third prize in the contest at school. We made quite a fuss over him and didn't even ask David how he made out.
Oh, poor David. I know how he hates drawing. He probably got a low mark.
That's what we're afraid of.
To me, this looks like an obvious case of a child's ego hurt by neglect and the belief that his parents are disappointed in him. Very typical.
Where'd you learn all that?
From the child psychology books. My mother used to buy them all, and I'd read them to see if I was being brought up properly. I remember one chapter...
Pardon me, Emmy Lou. You know, Harriet, I think our young friend here has given us a wonderful idea.
I have? I mean, I have?
Well, of course, it's very simple. David thinks we're disappointed in him. Our job now is to build up his self-confidence, build up his ego... Make a big fuss over him.
Ozzie, I think that's the answer.
Of course it is. Why, by 9 o'clock, he'll forget he ever thought about running away from home. Gee, thanks, Emmy Lou.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Nelson.
I'm always glad to help you. In fact, that's why I like you.
Huh? Why's that?
You're the only adult I know who has to depend on me for advice.
There he is, sitting in the living room, Harriet. Now remember what I told you. Just follow my lead.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, hello, David. How you feel?
Okay.
Ah, that's great. What are you doing?
Nothing. Just sitting here thinking.
He's thinking, Harriet. He's thinking.
Isn't that wonderful?
Wow. What are you thinking about, David?
Oh, nothing special. I was just going upstairs to read my book.
Oh, what book are you reading?
The one Grandma gave me.
Oh, yes, it's that new book. What's it called? Oh, that Tommy Tip-Top and his baseball team.
Oh, that sounds nice.
You know something? I've tried to read those Tommy Tip-Top books. It's a series. Did you ever read one, Harriet?
No, I can't say I have.
Well, I want to tell you they're pretty hard books to understand.
I've heard that from several people.
Yes, sir. It takes a very smart fellow to understand those books. I don't suppose you really understand them, do you, David?
Sure I do, I guess.
Well, how do you like that? Now, Harriet.
Yes?
I shouldn't say this in front of David, but he's a pretty smart boy to understand those books.
Oh, Pop, a baby can understand those books. You don't have to be smart to understand them.
I beg to differ. You are too modest. What would you say if I were to tell you that I don't understand them?
I'd say you would. I wouldn't say anything, Pop. Can I go up and read my book now?
Well,
David,
before you could...
go upstairs and read your book.
Thanks, Mom.
Boy, these cookies are great. They're your favorite kind, aren't they, David?
Yes, sir.
Your mother baked them especially for you. Go ahead, there's one left on the plate. You take it.
No, you take it, Pa.
Okay. Harriet! Harriet!
Yes, Ozzie?
Those cookies of yours were delicious. Look, the whole heaping plate is all gone.
Oh, wonderful. I've got more in the kitchen. I'll bring them out.
Isn't that great, David? Your mother's going to bring out some more cookies. And this time you try one, huh? Say, David, you know what I did? While I was out in the yard, I noticed your coaster wagon was broken, so I fixed it.
But my wagon isn't broken. That wagon in the yard belongs to Will Thornberry.
In here, Harriet.
Where's David?
He's up in his room.
Ozzie, we've got to do something.
Yes.
It's only a few hours till 9 o'clock. I know if we could just keep him interested and occupied until he goes to sleep, he'll have forgotten all about it by tomorrow.
Hey, I have an idea. Just before his bedtime, I'll start reading to him. And I'll read to him till he falls asleep.
That might be an idea, Sam.
I'll read him one of those Billy Bushytail stories. He used to be crazy about those.
Oh, that was a year ago, dear. He's outgrown them.
Harriet, he's just 10 years old. 10-year-old boys eat up those little animal stories. Where is the book?
On the night table next to your bed.
Hope you didn't lose my place.
Perhaps reading something more adult, dear. Maybe something with a moral to it, showing how foolish it would be to run away from home.
Yeah. I know just the book, too. I think you like this, David. It's Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, one of the finest books ever written.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that.
There's a certain chapter I want to read to you. Where Huck Finn runs away from his father.
Gee, swell, Pop. That sounds neat.
Yeah, I'll find it in just a minute. You'll see that Huck had real reasons for running away. His father was a mean, cruel man. He used to beat Huck all the time with hickory switches. Didn't feed or clothe the boy properly. Wouldn't even let him go to school.
Is that being bad?
Well, of course. Anyway, finally Huck decided to run away, so he sawed his way out of the cabin, made it look like he'd been kidnapped, see? See if I can find it here in the book. No, yeah. Here's the place. It was dark now. So I dropped the canoe down the river under some willows and waited for the moon to rise. I made fast to a willow. Then I took a bite to eat and lay down in the canoe to figure out a plan. I had some blankets and a pillow, so it was very restful. You getting tired, David?
Oh, no, Pop.
You don't mind if I stretch out on the sofa, do you? It's a little more comfortable.
Right ahead, Pop. Sleep some more.
I says to myself, they'll soon get tired looking and won't bother about me anymore. I can stop off anywhere I want to. Jackson's Island's good enough for me. I know that island pretty well, and nobody ever comes there. And I can paddle over to town nights and slink around and pick up things I want. Yes, sir. Jackson's Island's the place. I was pretty tired. As I lay stretched out by the canoe, I could hear the gentle lapping of the soft river water against the bank. My eyes grew heavy. I yawned a few times. And the first thing I know, I was fast asleep.
Where's David?
He's on Jackson's Island. Don't worry, dear.
Ozzie, wake up, dear.
No, he was just... Oh, I must have fallen asleep for a minute.
A minute? It's almost 10 o'clock and David's gone.
He must have left while I was asleep.
Oh, call the police. I'll call Mother. We'll get up a searching party.
Wait a minute, Harriet. Let's look in his room. He probably left a note telling us where he went.
All right, but let's hurry.
I'm coming.
You look for a note, Ozzie. I'll see what clothes he took.
Well, that's it. He didn't leave it on his dresser.
He didn't. What's the matter, Pop?
Don't bother us, David. We're...
David! What happened? He's all right, Ozzy. He's safe in bed. What's the matter, Mom?
Harriet, let me handle this. David, something's been bothering you today, hasn't it?
Yes, Pop.
Was it about the drawing you had to do for the project at school?
Yes, Pop.
David, each of us is good at some things and poor at other things. Nobody should be conceited about being especially good at something, and it's just as foolish to feel bad about being poor at something else. You're our son, and we love you. Whether you get the best mark in the class or the poorest, you know that wouldn't make any difference in the way we feel about you, don't you, David?
Yes, Pop.
Now, does this straighten everything out, son?
Yes, Pop. Oh, David.
Now, David, you don't have to if you don't want to, but I think you'd feel better if you let us see the drawing.
But Ozzy...
Harriet, I just want to show him that no matter how bad the drawing is, it doesn't make the slightest difference to us.
It's on the chair there, Pop.
Okay. Just take a look. Well, it isn't so bad, is it, Harriet?
No.
What mark did you get on it, David?
First prize.
Well, that doesn't make... David, I know we woke you out of a deep sleep. Listen carefully, son. What mark did you get on it?
First prize. First prize? But I thought you didn't like drawing.
I don't. I didn't try very hard. I just smeared up the paper with watercolors, and the teacher said it was abstract and gave me first prize.
David, tell me, dear, if you won first prize, why were you ashamed to show it to us?
Well, Ricky got third prize for that bridge, and you said you wanted him to be an engineer.
Well?
And if I got first prize for this, you'd want me to be an artist. And I don't want to be an artist. I want to be an aviator.
Is that all that's bothering you? David, you don't have to be anything you don't want to be.
I don't? Of course not, David.
Now, is everything okay?
Uh-huh.
And you're going to go to school tomorrow?
Can I?
Can you? Well, of course you can.
Then you'll have to talk to the drawing teacher. She's making everybody who won first prize go to the Art Institute.
Then you weren't going to run away from home.
Ain't it great,
David?
Mom? I don't have to be an artist.
For Pete's sake, what's all the fuss about here?
Hey, what's going on in here?
Oh, we woke up Ricky.
Well, that's all right. Let him get up. We're going to celebrate, Harriet. I'll run to the corner and get ice cream. You get the cookies and the dishes.
That's a good idea.
We'll be right back, boys. Don't go to sleep. We're going to have a party.
Say, David.
What, Ricky?
What's going on around here?
I don't know. I'm all mixed up myself.
Gee whiz. Pop's so excited and Mom's crying.
Nothing to worry about, Ricky. Just the stage they go through.
I'm not worried. I just hope Pop's not so excited he forgets I like strawberries.
Boy, that ice cream was great, wasn't it?
Sure was, sure was.
You forgot to get strawberries.
I'm sorry, Ricky, but I was so excited I got just chocolate.
I like chocolate.
David won first prize, and I only won third.
Oh, Ricky, that makes no difference. After all, David won first prize accidentally.
Well, I sort of won third prize accidentally, too.
What do you mean?
Well, they gave different prizes to the boys and girls.
Yes?
There's only four boys in my class, and one of them was absent.
You've been listening to The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.